All right, welcome to The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. My name is Shanaz. I'm here with Brooksy. This might be the second take of the intro, but you'll never know. Brooksy, are we in a lockdown still or what's going on?
Nah, we're clear. We're out. We're out of lockdown. New Zealand's pretty much clean. We're clean. We're killing it. What is it, 8 days without a local infection? Sorry, that is definitely not the terminology, but yeah, we're good. How are you, my man? What's doing?
Oh, you know me, I'm just sitting around watching Fox News all day. I love it. And I'm not talking the sport.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy in America at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that was just a bad, bad joke in a bad, bad time. It's awful, man. It's horrific and it's sad and it's depressing, and hopefully something good might come out of it. But we're here to talk about the NRL for the moment. Maybe we'll get to that stuff later on. But Brooksy, are you hinting to me off air that the crowds are back this week?
Yes, they are, Shanaz. We'll have up to, I think, 50 at grounds this week, starting this week. Members, corporates, whoever you fancy as the home team. We've seen a few families attend games, get special dispensation to attend so they can see their sons and nephews uncles debut in the NRL. I think the most recent one was Tom Gilbert up in the Cowboys and up at Townsville, sorry, for the Cowboys. We had a few Knights debutants 2 weeks ago. So there has been a little sprinkling of people attending games, obviously for sentimental reasons. But you know what? It's going to be good. We've got 50 per game. The AFL, haven't they been behind the eight ball since day dot? But they've actually kicked a goal this week, Shanaz. It sounds like in the showdown in Adelaide, where Port play the Crows. They're going to have up to 2,000 people at Adelaide Oval. What a way to start their season.
Now, is that because the Oval/Stadium is bigger than most of ours and that's why they can have more people in there? What's the reasoning behind that? Or is it different government?
I don't think that's the reason.
Different government?
Yeah. Well, it's South Australia, but obviously I think they've got different tiers. They're going to have groups in and around the stadium. So yeah, I guess maybe 40 groups of 50 strewn across Adelaide Oval. Who knows?
Right.
I was impressed with my maths there. That was pretty good off the top of my head. But yeah, hopefully we can do the same in the NRL soon, mate. I was thinking, do you reckon they would get 2,000 people to the Sharks-Dragons game this week if we did have crowds?
Well, I can think of two people that are going to be there, Brooksy, and I'm going to have you in a headlock for the entire time, rubbing your face in it going, look what your team's become, and we're going to kill you, we're going to destroy you. Behold, the whole time, I'm going to have you in a headlock the whole time. A gentle headlock.
Well, you'd want to hope so, Shanaz.
Oh, like, seriously, pressure on this me.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the chat.
Welcome to the Dragon Den.
No, let's go. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with your Sharkies? Do you want to start with the Dragons? Do you want to start with a positive story?
I want to start with the Sydney Roosters. No, I'm happy to go with the Dragons. Dragons, let's do it.
Okay, 16th spot, Shanaz. 0-4. They've scored 2 points since the lockdown. We've scored a combined 0 points. They've scored a combined 2 points. They're only 2 points behind being an NRL franchise, Shanaz. mate, it's been very depressing as a Dragons fan, watching the boys run around. It's been sad. There's been waves of emotions, mainly on the negative side of things. But against 14th and like the Warriors, 18-0 up at the Sunny Coast, and then giving them their only win of the season, and then the Bulldogs too, who were decent on the weekend. But the Dragons, they have a decent roster, Shanaz. I don't think 2 points out of the last two games really reflects who we've got, but it just shows you where the confidence levels are at the moment. How do you see it from the outside looking in? How do you see the Dragons situation other than dire?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not the first team to be in this position, so don't take it to heart too much. But I have said this to you before, and as recent as this morning, I'm not a huge fan of your playing roster, but I do agree that you should be doing a lot better than what you are. And to me, it looks like a team with no confidence at all. And it's, I can't really fault the effort, as strange as that sounds, because I watched the game against the Bulldogs pretty closely, and you guys were trying hard. It was almost like you were all trying too hard to do the same thing, and that was, you know, score points and win. And I don't know how you change that. I think against the Sharkies, you might see a bit of ad lib. You might see a bit of just, you know, Hail Mary kind of stuff because, excuse the pun, because what else can you do? You've tried the kind of hit up kick business and it's not really working for you. And the one thing I was disappointed by as just, I don't know, as a person who watches the game is that a lot of the players and coaching staff, they had a lot of quotes about how they were going to perform against the Bulldogs. This is it. We're going to show up. This is the one. We're going to do it for everyone. And they were poorer than they'd probably ever been. And I just think you can't be out there making all these grand statements and then kind of just putting on that kind of display. And I felt for James Graham, I felt for Mary when they fronted up to the press, in particular our very own 360. They were very brave. They were genuinely, you know, just they gave you everything they had. Mary didn't have to be there, and he was there, and he copped it, and he stood up like a man, dare I say the word man, and he was really strong in his thoughts. And I actually respected him more after that than before, which is a strange thing to say. But I think, Brooksy, because you're such a well-supported club, it's a much bigger story than it probably needs to be in the general scheme of things. Does that make sense? Like the Dragons are, you know, like every club is important to a set of fans. But because you're the Dragons, it's almost a story that can't be hidden anywhere.
Yeah, there's definitely having come from the Illawarra side of things, I think there is an element of the Illawarra, I don't want to say hatred, but like he has been, as soon as Mary has sort of had adversity and the team has gone through adversity, there has been a lot of angst in his, given, gone his way. And a lot of the time I haven't felt that it's been fair. I think you've just got to go back to when he did come to the club as head coach. The constant that's been there, Schnaz, whether the results have been good or bad, is the club's state, where it is financially. And as we saw today, there was an emergency board meeting with the Dragons.
Yep.
And it has been stated that Mary, who has been given support, they won't be getting rid of him anytime soon, was basically what's come out of it. So he does have the support of the board. I have, you know, a big fan of him still, through and through. Come over to the Dragons, the merger, like, you know, it's great seeing someone with an Illawarra heritage coaching the club. It's tough, man. I've supported him a long time, but I guess the only thing that we can see out of this is we're going to see what type of coach Mary actually is, and these players and the coaching staff reacting to adversity at like the worst kind. Like they are solo on 0 points on the ladder at the moment, Schnaz. So
yeah,
they've got to turn it around. They must turn it around for the fans, for the members, the sponsors, everything. Like 2021 is going to be a very big year for a lot of clubs. Crowds are back. Like we're going to sort of bounce back from this 2020. 2020 is not necessarily a write-off with what we've gone through. And it's definitely, I don't think, going to be an asterisk season, but
no,
man, it's just it's disappointing to see the club in this situation. And I just wish like the fans sort of got behind the team. Okay, fair enough. you might not like Mary, but get behind the team. Those people like quitting memberships and riding into like to all different governing bodies to
Yeah.
try and get them their refund. That's not going to help the club.
Which
Like
is
that's such a hypocritical reaction to what's going on.
and it's ridiculous. And every single club in the NRL, dare I say, every sport around the world has those in inverted commas fans. And as much as you and I, I have fun making light of your club and everything, I find that just utterly ridiculous, and I don't associate a real Dragons fan with that kind of behavior. And it's just petty and it's immature. And like, I've had those feelings. We've all had those feelings, but you never really go through with it, right? You just keep turning up, and you don't have to go along with the coach. You don't have to go along with the players, but that's your club. You supported them for all your life or whatever. Just because they lose four games, you're gonna throw it in? It's just, let me guess, you're gonna be the first one to buy a grand final ticket in 3 years' time too. So that stuff just is not good for the game or the club. And yeah,
It's more than the coaching, man. I think it's
yeah.
like, yes, it is an issue, but you've got to look back, as I said just before, how Mary was brought in, what sort of a club he inherited as a side, and where the club was financially situated. Like, there's those stories that were in the Mercury and the Daily Telegraph about Mary coming in and actually rebuilding the gyms. Like,
Yeah.
this has been a legacy thing. This is now the result of something that strategically has happened over the last 5 to 10 years since the premiership.
Yeah.
And yet there has been some good results along the way, like that 2018, where they were lost in Golden Point to South to get to within like minutes within a game of the grand final.
Yeah.
And now they're 0-4. It's a shortened season. It's going to be very hard to get back. I'm not going to say they can't get into the finals, because mathematically we know they're only 4 points out of eighth, 4 points out of sixth. But yeah, if they need to basically do the George Costanza and do the complete opposite of what they've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, the game plan against the Bulldogs wasn't great. As I said, that the effort I thought was there as a neutral watching, I thought that they had a lot of energy for a while. And but the whole kick on the fifth, long bomb for distance, as we say in the stats world, it's just, you got to mix it up. And you're seeing teams this year at play attacking football. You guys had a few things that fell apart in the last kind of few moments, so it's not like you didn't try and do things. Corey Norman had a chip and chase. You had a break down the left, which was stopped, I think, by the winger who put you out. You were definitely trying things, but the majority of the game plan was just, yeah, pretty boring, I guess. And for a team that's was 0-3, now 0-4, you got to shake it up. And I think you will shake it up against my Sharkies. I do think that you've named a bit of a different team, and I think that it's not all or nothing, but everyone's going to be watching this game to see how you guys react, basically.
And you guys, apart from a cheeky right side domination, like you weren't too far off an 0-4 start yourselves.
No, that's correct. I guess the difference is they should have won against Souths and Melbourne this year. Like, they really were as good, if not the better team. And against West Tigers, they led by 2 points in the 50th minute. So we're competing, if you know what I'm saying. So,
A
but
loss is
yeah,
a loss, though, Schnaz. Like,
I
that's
know what
what
you're saying. I know what you're saying.
the Dragons had two losses at the start, where they were pretty much could have won those matches against the Tigers and the Panthers. And that's the thing. That's a funny thing about football. Like, you guys could have been putting in, like, your four and against is minus eight with one win and three losses. So, like, they've been all been close games, but in reality, results happen this way, like results go the Dragons' favor. We're both on 2 points, baby.
But I guess the difference there is John Morris, is new to the job. He has all this stuff going against him that's out of his control. People sort of feel a bit sympathetic towards his role, whereas Mary's been there for a million years on $1 million. You know what I mean? Oh, like,
don't know about that, man. It'd be interesting to see which coaches get paid what, but I don't think he'd be on $1 million.
No, but I'm guessing when he re-signed, he got an increase in what he was earning. Yeah. And I'm just saying, and again, I don't think the spotlight on Cronulla is anything at these days because there's not a lot of star power there, and there's not even that expectation at the moment that they're going to do great things. Whereas I think the Drags are kind of, as I said, they have that weird history where, and I'm not being a smart ass, but they have that history where the old club was around since day dot, and they have that following, and that makes them a famous club, even though, you know, you and Illawarra and St. George got together and formed a different club. But, and I'm not being smart about that. I'm just saying, like, you have this expectation, whereas I think my club doesn't really have that at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, well, like, yeah, I think the Sharkies still have a decent side. Like, probably then they should be in the top half of the competition when the season finishes. But
I agree.
The star power there. You haven't had Andrew Fifita for the last 2 weeks, which is, you know, shown, given opportunity to some of the other middle forwards to lead and to be noticed. Wade's been pretty good. I've enjoyed watching Wade.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Iron Man, Chad Townsend, couldn't keep his streak rolling.
Yeah, that's a bummer. It was a great little record that he had. Tough kid.
Yeah.
Good with the basketball, I hear. Good with the hoops.
Yeah, I've got to challenge him on that one. I haven't done that. It would have been good leading into the game if we had that one-on-one comp and he would have had to have worn an Illawarra Steelers jersey to the game. But, I haven't mind watching the Sharkies, mate. I think there's some good young players. Jesse Ramian looks like he's settled in.
Yeah.
Dugs has been all right. Matty Moylan. Mm. We've finally seen him on the park. Some interesting passes in round three from the Sharkies, mate. There was one in particular Moylan threw at Dugan's left foot that stands out. But, mate...
Let me ask you a question. Fullback or 5'8"? Fullback or 5'8"?
I think you've got to go fullback. William Kennedy was good, but I like that Moylan-Johnson-Townsend combination. Not okay. I know it's 2020 and not 2016, but I think they can do some stuff. I think how many games have they all played together? Like not, since Johnson came to the club,
not a great deal. Not many.
It would have to be on. You could count on one hand. So, I think let's give it a go.
I think that Moylan just straight out, like forget about the combinations. I think straight out he's a much better 5'8 than fullback. And so that's where I have my concerns about him being named there this week. And it's not about the combinations for me with Sean and with Chad. I just think that at 5'8, he's like in 2018, he was lights out for us. Last week, he was good. In the roving role the week before, he was a lot better.
Yep.
Fullback, I just have a few concerns, but we'll see how he goes this week. But you know what, Brooksy, this isn't the Derby podcast. Do you want to talk a bit more about your Drags, or you want to move on? I'm happy to.
Let's move on. I think let's go to some of the things that have impressed us over the last couple of weeks, Shaz.
Okay.
I think let's go to the top of the ladder. Let's start with the Eels. 4-0, great start to the season. I think they've only done it 3 times. You're the stats man.
They have.
Have they done it 3 times before this year? 2 of those years, premiership years.
386, I believe.
The last 2 premierships. So
Brooks, their defense is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think you look at the way the last 2 games have played out, Schnaz, it's been the attack that hasn't really allowed the opposition to get into any position to score points.
Yeah.
But there's been some great short kicking. There's been some great chases. The Manly game could have been a loss. We know we saw Fox Air deliver that awesome angle of the pass from Tommy T out to Ruben Garrick. What were your thoughts on it?
I'm glad you brought it up. Because it brings up this argument, and particularly in the press and social media, about what do you want? Do you want a quick game with some mistakes made by the officials, or do you want a slower game where you slow it all down, you get it mostly correct? And I, Brooksy, I'm a stickler. I think that Manly probably should have won that game. And I know that there's examples where they lost it and Tommy said it wasn't just that pass and everything, but you know what? If that pass is allowed, they're winning that game. So
yeah.
I was disappointed in the decision. I was disappointed in the fact that it was just kind of washed over, because Graham Annesley came out straight away and he said, hey, we got it wrong, which I think is really it's really admirable. But in my opinion, it cost the team 2 points.
Yeah, I think the hit from Sivo really accentuated the fact that the ball did travel forward, but it was out of the hands backwards, I thought.
Sure, it was, yeah.
You know, if Tommy's passing that on the fly, right, no contact made, you know, as he is on the burst, like throwing that left to right pass, I think the touchy lets it go. I think the fact that Sivo stops his progress and the ball travels out and Garrick runs onto it makes it look more like a forward pass. So, yeah, 15 probably club fan bases thought it was an okay pass. Eels fans, 4-0. It's on the board. You can't take it off, whether Annesley comes out and says it was a legal pass or not. But
what do you think, though, Brooksy, as far as... Okay, you can't always rule on a forward pass with TV, but in this case you kind of could because of our perfect camera operation. I just think that whenever we can get the call right, we need to do it. I'm not a fan of this rub of the green and like it all evens out in the end. I think that's bullshit, man. I really do. I think it's cliched.
Well, the NRL is going to have to pay for those cameras, Schnaz. They're going to have them at every venue. They're going to have them at every end of every side of the field.
Yeah,
like that's an initiative from the broadcaster that's trying to expand the view of the game.
Yeah,
we can't just say, all right, the best games have the ability to show forward passes.
That's fair. That's fair.
And Parramatta get the advantage of having. I don't think we can go into that sort of realm. You know, there's certain cameras that are. Part of each broadcast, but that one is just a nice add-on, and it's something they're doing to spice up the coverage with COVID. Remember, you know what that Cameron Modich has, and our NFL fans will remember that. Remember 2 seasons ago when Booger was on the sideline on little seat that people were like messaging ESPN going, I want my money back, you're blocking my view. Booger's in there talking about God knows what, but yeah, like it's a camera that's been installed, obviously without crowds. Like it's a great view.
Take away that camera aspect, just about slowing the game down where we can in a fair way. Are you leaning towards that, or are you one of the people that I roll my eyes at when they go, oh, it all evens out in the end?
I think you're rolling your eyes at me, mate. Like, okay. That's a tough call to make on the fly. But yeah, you've got that. It comes down to training, I guess, the touch judges, training the referees to know that ball, what traveled maybe 2 meters forward with the player passing, stopping because of contact. Like, you've got to train your touchies and your refs to be able to make those spur-of-the-moment decisions by analysing what they've seen. You know, so it's not necessarily... You get the feel for that situation through, obviously, watching a lot. So more experienced referees who do a lot more games would have that situation come up more often. But that's something I hope, you know, that all the touchies and all the referees, with whatever experience they've got, they have a look at that. They say, look, that's travel meters forward. The player stopped then once passing the ball, which is going to make it look like it's forward.
Yeah.
When adjudicating those passes, take that into account. That's your blink. That's your first thing that you see with those type of passes going out from the edge out to them. Make
yeah.
sure you know that the player's running at speed. Check to see where the balls come out of the hand. So that's what you want to be looking at. It's a touchy, and then probably where the ball goes to. Like, they're the little things, I think, that Annesley, that Bernard Sutton, and have to drum into the Breeze and the touchies, even though there's less person on there now. So they've got to really, really hammer home the back, mate, each week, go through good calls, bad calls. And it's going to be for the games. We're going to get some really good officials
yeah.
if they can, you know, look at those moments and decide on the spot to call them forward or to let them go.
Well, I just hope that everyone's
Sorry.
Happy and like
we've just done a podcast and officiating.
The referee league life. I think that as long as everyone's happy with, you know, I mean, remember the Canberra situation six again last year. If people are happy with letting them get it wrong, and don't misunderstand me. I understand how difficult the job it is. I wouldn't last 1 second in that role. I completely respect those guys, in all honesty, but I just think with the billion-dollar industry...
What's your... Sorry, Shnaz, to cut you off. What would be your big concern about officiating an NRL game? What would you go in, you're there, you go, oh, God, I'm not going to
yeah.
meet this standard.
I think maintaining a good 10 metres and that would be my first concern, actually. Yeah, the 10 metres.
What, you reckon you'd be like, oh, it's 9, it's 11. Oh,
I think I would have trouble keeping up with it, shall we say. I would have trouble keeping up with it.
Oh, well, the fitness side of things,
yeah,
like getting back to yourself.
Yeah.
It could be the players call the referee. Offside. Back your 10, Shnaz.
That would be the major problem. I'd be offside the whole time.
Imagine you on a set restart, Shnaz. You'll be caught up in the... You'll be tripping over in the play the ball.
I got to tell you, Brooksy, it makes our work in the stats world slightly more challenging, which is good. Like, it's always good to be challenged, and it's definitely a quicker pace this time around post-COVID for a stats person to get it all... To get everything we need to capture, it's pretty cool. Like you definitely notice the change.
Are you guys live callers calling with masks on? It's like careful, Gillard, 9 meters, chuck of 12. What was that?
Exactly. Yeah, we are definitely keeping a proper social distance. I mean, you've been around to work. They're taking it pretty seriously at the old Fox Sports, but. What else is on your list to discuss here, Brooksy? What else? Where are we going to now? I'll tell you what I'm impressed with, and that is the Sydney Roosters.
You just hijacked that conversation.
The Sydney Roosters, man. Like, I know that
the Roosters.
I know the Broncos were not very good, and I'm being nice there, but I really am admiring the urgency which they're playing the game, the Roosters, and I think that the halves are going to come into their own if they're not already. I think Flanagan and Kyrie, a nice little combination. Throw in Teddy this week. Teddy was missing last week, Brooks. Teddy was not playing in the 59-0 win or whatever it was.
How's he back in the side? I think you've got to run with your 17.
You probably.
59 points on the Broncos. I was surprised that Teddy was like the first picked. This week, I think he should have been in jersey number 14, if anything. But, the B-Moz and the J-Moz show really kicked things off up at Brizzy. But, mate, it was there were probably some doubts heading into that game that the Roosters will probably struggle to three-peat. Like most teams around the world, you see it in the NBA, you see it in the NFL.
Let me
NRL, you barely see him go back-to-back, let alone a three-peat, but, God, they look good, Shnaz.
I know
there's
we're
one
talking...
player in particular that I really, really
yes.
like.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
And mate, this I'm going to... We've all talked about ball-playing locks. We just like ball-playing in general, I think.
We do.
Rugby league, of course. But Jake Trbojevic, one of the best going around. Cam Murray. Oh, everyone's loving Cam Murray. But Victor Radley, Shaz,
Yeah.
I think he's improving every game. Like, you watch him, you watch what he does. He's got his hands on the ball, quite like it. I reckon he'd lead the forwards in line engagements. He's supporting the play. If he doesn't get the ball, he's back at first or second receiver. Like, he's just a specimen. He's going to be one of the best players in the league in the next couple of years. I
Yeah,
haven't even talked about his defense. It's unbelievable.
he knows how to hit, that's for sure. I have watched him closely, like I watch most players and most games closely, and he really is going to be something special if he's not already. He's got time on his side to become this, great player, and he has all the attributes as well, which I think is great. I think the system he's playing in is helping him, the coaching, the club. It's the glamour club. It's the club where you don't go without. It's a professional as a club in Australia at least, and it's showing, man. Like he's dominant in that middle, and as you say, he can do it all.
Yeah, he played a bit of hooker last year from memory when Friend was out, and he was good in that role. But this is like, I think he's gonna, it's like the evolution of man. Like, Tom Trbojevic is sort of slightly bent over. He's gonna get us to that upright gait, that, like, the ball playing lock that's just gonna be just possibly the most influential position on the field. And you couple that with Kiri. He's won three premierships now, Schnaz.
He's
You've
very
got
good.
Teddy, who's been amazing, if not the best fullback or attacker in the world. You've got some good forwards with Angus Crichton's playing pretty well. Like, he had a bit of a. I thought he was pretty, he could have been better in 2019, but he's showing signs of that, like, last season he had in at South. Oh, sorry, 2017 it was that he had that cracking year. But yeah, like, the Roosters are definitely gonna be up there when it comes to the finals. And I've just been mesmerised by Radley and how he plays. I love watching him. If you can get the chance, just watch him, like, when the Roosters are in attack, and just watch him support and watch him ball play. And then when the other team gets a ball, watch him just line people up. Like, was it Paddy Carrigan? No, it wasn't Paddy Carrigan. It was Flegler. Flegler got absolutely flattened last week, and it was a perfect tackle. And mate, this Radley kid, this Radley fella, he's as hot as Hansel right now.
He looks a lot like Billy Slater as well.
You reckon?
He does in the face. They got the same face. That's off
No,
topic, but
yeah, it is. What have you made of Billy Slater's former club, the Storm?
Oh, they were pretty good last week against the Bunnies.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be a slow
came home
build.
strong.
They're going to be a slow build. The
Yeah.
tries they scored, I was very impressed with. One of my roles at Fox
One
is
of.
one of, I do a few things, is collating some highlights for our little brother slash sister, KO, who you're quite close with. And,
Brother slash sister.
well, come on, man. Got to keep it equal. It's an
What?
equal workforce.
So boats are females. I don't know what else. I don't know what else has a gender sort of side. But
Want
what are companies, males or females? You're
to.
saying male slash female.
A streaming company, what would that be? Anyway, Brooksy, one of my roles is to give you guys some highlights at KO, and Victor Radley features heavily each week in the big hits. But the Melbourne Storm on the weekend, their tries that they scored were really exciting, really good.
Where on the excitement level were they, Schnaz? Like an eight?
They were averaging around 8. Yeah, there was one which is probably a 9.
Oh.
It wasn't a DJ Lilua 10, but it was a 9.
Oh, that was good. We'll talk about that after our Storm chat. But
the Storm are going to be up there. I'm certain they have enough talent all over the park, and even someone like Justin Olam, who I've talked about with you probably off air but not on, just gets the job done, hard as nails in that Melbourne system. You know, I feel like you put anyone in that system and they become, you know, almost champions at the very least. And I think there's a bit of life in the old Storm yet, Brooksy.
Well, yeah, we've talked about the Eels, Roosters and Storm, Schnaz. They're three of the best defensive teams. And that's the key. I think that's the key to the modern game. You need a solid defense. Just like in court. And that's, I think you're going to probably see one, maybe two of those teams out of those three. What do you think of the Raiders and the Knights game, Schnaz? I think we were all going in to that game thinking the Raiders are the team to beat this year with Parra. You know, they just knocked off the Storm in round three. Mm. Impressive game from Georgie boy, George Williams. But they, as Ricky said, probably their worst game in 2 years, and they played like children.
Yeah, I thought that that was 101 Stewart right there, calling them children after one loss. Wow.
Yeah. He's burnt that initial card now. He can't. There's only so many blow-ups you've got in a season, right? So Ricky's burned one in round four.
He's gone off
a short season.
He's gone off way too early, Brooks.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this with you. The way that we...
Well, here's your chance.
Thank you. We in the media and on the social media and fans in the pub, whatever, they talk about who's the team to beat this year. And it starts in preseason, goes through the trials, and then, you know, round one, it heats up. And this year, absolutely Canberra being mentioned. I'm pretty sure Brisbane were in that mix somewhere, weren't they, with their big forwards? The team to beat was Brisbane. They were going to be up there.
Yeah, they always are each year, Schnaz.
I guess my point is that team changes quite a lot throughout the season, and it doesn't necessarily have to change. But everyone on the Canberra bandwagon, I get it. They're in the grand final. They probably should have won that grand final. But are they going to have as good a year as what they had last year? I don't know. Like, I started pretty well. I get that. But I wasn't overly surprised to see Newcastle take it to them, because Newcastle are a different entity under their new coach. They're a little bit old school. They're a little bit, you know, the Newcastle of old that you remember, and I'm not talking about Andrew Johns, but just that strong defense and the young players and that playing for each other, one team town thing that they all buy into. That's what I'm seeing from Newcastle this year. And Canberra, I think maybe they're on autopilot a little bit. I think Canberra's definitely heading towards the top four, but they're not a team at the moment that I'm blown away by. I need to see them do it again this year. Last year, I'm not going to use the word fluke because it wasn't a fluke, but last year I thought they almost overachieved.
Yeah. They've had a few injuries. There's been, you know, they've lost from, let's have a look at that grand final team and what they're putting out at the moment. So John Bateman's out.
Yeah.
Joey Leilua's at the Tigers. Yeah. Scoring tries of the year, candidates. Jordan Rapana's coming off the bench. Obviously went to Japan to play with the late Sunwolves. May they rest in peace.
Yeah.
What else? Who else in that team? They're pretty much the same. Aiden Caesar's gone. George Williams is there.
I'm not for one second knocking them. I just don't know if they're in my like top two teams that you must beat this year. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think the home, like, that was a, that's played in Canberra. I think you've got a different result there. I think we're talking about the Raiders being on top of the ladder. With the Eels. But, I just was impressed with the Knights, Schnaz. And
oh, they're good, yeah.
Everyone, Kalen Ponga's game was terrific.
Yep.
Piercy did what he needed to do. Bradman Best.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yep. Hello.
18 years old, four tries in his past two games.
Tex Hoy.
Scored some absolute crackers. Tex Hoy's been a nice addition. So it was him, Chris Randall, and Brody Jones debuting in that amazing draw. Possibly the best. I've never seen a team celebrate a draw so much before, Shaz. Well, that was
the circumstances. Like, my God.
He had Pierce and Watson on the sideline laughing that they were still so close in the game. Penrith couldn't capitalise. Penrith are sitting with the Knights now in equal second. Mm. But that was an opportunity for the Panthers to be 4-0. I think the Knights got a lot out of that game. It could have gone either way. A lot of people were saying, you know, a hectic 90 minutes, a lot of inexperienced players. Obviously, the injuries. Connor Watson's going to be out for some time. But, you know, they showed against the Raiders that they're going to be contending in the finals and potentially go pretty goddamn close.
Yeah.
Like I rate the attack. The left side attack's really good. You've got Lachie Fitzgibbon coming back into the side, who is that specialised hole runner that Ponga and Pierce can play off. You've got Bradman Best as an option if you don't go short to Lachie. And then Edric Lee's catching balls. He's dropping a couple, but he's catching them.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's got a few tries already this year. So I think it's the most potent left side attack in the NRL.
I think that they need to stay injury free, like most teams, to be fair, but I don't know about the depth there. But I think you'll see Newcastle have one of those years where they're you know, top six, top seven maybe, and they have a big finals campaign and all the buses come down. And I think it's one of those, you know, they have one of those breakout years every 4 or 5 years. I know it's been lean for them, but
yeah.
If you look at it historically, they always sort of tend to come good after a while. And this year could, like, it's early days, but this year could be one of those just because of the grit that they're showing. It doesn't take a lot to win games post-COVID. It takes some grit. And
post-COVID era.
Oh, yeah. And you got to be quick. You got to be able to keep up with the play. And we saw the Broncos not do that and a bunch of teams in similar-ish boats, but Newcastle got a lot of energy, and you've got to put it down to the new coach. You have to.
So, Schnaz, you're a bit of an insider at the
Sharkies. I am.
You might be able to break some news here. Look, to me, it was a bit of a non-event. There was six Sharkies that had a higher body temperature, the regulation body temperature that's required to enter the clean zone at these games. So it was Matty Moylan, I think Sean Johnson was there, all running a little hot. It's Townsville. It was about 23 degrees. You know, who doesn't blame them? They're getting out of the state for the first time in a while. So what would have happened if they failed their second test and failed their third test? The Sharkies would have been down six bodies.
Well, you can't feel
what would have happened.
You can't feel the team.
Would the game have been cancelled? Did you guys address this on the Sharkcast?
We didn't get too much into it because there's a lot of other stuff going on. But I am led to believe they wouldn't have been able to play. They might have delayed it till the next day or something. But if you lose six of your probably 19 squad, you're not going to have subs or anything. And you might have lost Moylan and Johnson, so who's going to be your halves? Like, Billy McGoolis is going to be a half? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. He's a great six.
I'm led to believe that the team arrived. They went up to this fancy area where they were being looked after and
what do you mean, fancy area?
There's like an area at the new stadium in North Queensland.
Oh, at the stadium. Sorry, I'm thinking Townsville Airport.
No. They went straight to the plane.
We went to this fancy little.
You know the protocols, Brooks. You get off the plane, the chartered plane, you go straight to the venue, and they look after you there. And I'm led to believe that the room they were in got a little bit warmer than what it should have. So I don't know if it was a bit of funny buggers from the Cowboys. Maybe it was Val in there getting a bit of revenge. But they passed the second test and we got the 2 points.
Yeah. It sounded dire on game day.
Oh, mate. It was like, what?
I thought you guys would
Vonnie coming in with the newsflash.
Oh, news. I thought you guys might have been playing a nines game.
Yeah.
Like, drop a few off and let's have a game. But yeah, mate, it's definitely one for the old record books at the leagues club. Yeah. I think that's one of the most famous victories of all time for the Sharkies.
Not to mention
the 2016 grand final.
I have to say, Brooksy, that I have had the good fortune of being down near training in recent times. And like all the other clubs, they take it very seriously. And there's actually NRL employees down there making sure everything is by the book. I personally, as it should be, I'm only allowed in the dirty zone. So I can't be, tackling
Christina Aguilera.
Well, yeah, I can't be tackling Chatty like I usually do most weeks. I got to, give him a virtual high five. And the clubs are taking it seriously. It's
can't help but think Chad's enjoying the clean zone in 2020.
Hey. What are you trying to say?
I don't know. Just man with a beard.
He shaved it off.
And tackles.
Shaved
no,
off.
You. I'm talking oh, about you.
Nah, Chad and I, fine.
I don't know. I think you're a bit old for hanging around in the clean zone, Schnaz.
Nah.
Yeah,
I'm fine. Know. No, I'm in the dirty zone.
You're like Kramer, the ball man in the US Open. Hey, leave it to the young guys.
I provide the club with something. I don't know what it is, but something.
Yeah, I think you see. So you're talking about the many roles that you provide at Fox. Yeah. I think one's a door greeter. I always see you in coffee when I'm walking in. You're like, oh, good morning, Mr. Brooks.
That's true.
Enjoy your day.
That's a true story.
You might do that. Oh, good morning, Mr. Townsend. How are you? How was your plane ride? And you're right. 36.2. Sweet. All right. Have a good game. Start that streak again, Chatty.
Come on, Chatty. Is Gigi still open at Fox? No.
Yeah, it is. It's open.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, you haven't been back in a while.
Well, I'm
the
there,
old but... WFH for Sam Shenazzi.
Yeah, I'm there a little bit, but not that often. But anyway, what else is going on in the world of rugby league?
Yeah, so Shenazzi.
Yeah.
I was thinking a quick little segment because, we've done a bit of time, haven't we?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
What are we ringing out at the moment?
Oh.
Have you got a little counter there?
We're at about the 48-minute mark, I think.
We are. All right. So, we haven't talked about some teams. I want your quick thoughts on the teams that I'm about to throw at you.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to randomly look at the ladder, and I'm going to throw some team names at you. I want to know your thoughts, and I'll give a quick thought off the back of it.
Okay.
Gold Coast Titans.
I feel sorry for them, and I'm glad they won on the weekend. I think that they're in for a lean year, though.
Well, was it nearly a year since their last win against the Broncos?
It was about 11 months.
11 months. It was great.
It was fantastic.
I love having someone that's done Titans games over the last few years. Moiaki Fotuaika they're going to lose Jai Arrow to the Bunnies, likely, at the end of this season. He's their guy. I love that Holbrook has cut some of the veterans like Wallace, like Pete, and given these young guys a go. He's basically rolling the dice. He's just got there. They're not going to fire him after four games.
I hope not.
And the young guys provided. I thought it was a great performance against the Tigers, and it was great to see Ash Taylor give a bit of confidence, have a bit of confidence in his game. And he's back up at Brisbane. He always plays well up at Suncorp from memory. And, that was his best game in a long, long time.
All right,
next team, Jai Arrow's future employers, the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Lost three in a row, Brooksy.
Yes.
I think that they will probably scrape into the eighth. I think they need to just gel a bit more. I thought Latrell was a lot better this week.
He's getting better. Look, as someone that used to work in stats and the other person on the end of this line is a stats auditor/inputter.
And coffee guy.
Coffee guy. Good door greeter.
Door greeter.
Have a look at his numbers the last 4 weeks and tell me if he isn't improving at the fullback role. But Cody Walker, James Roberts back this week against the Titans, who we've just talked about.
Yeah.
How much do the Rabbitohs win by, Schnaz?
Where are they playing at? In Sydney?
Central Coast.
Central Coast.
Central Coast?
They should. Oh, maybe
no, Bankwest. No, it can't be Central Coast.
It's at Bankwest. They should win by 18, I would think, if they're serious about it. But look, the Titans showed a lot of heart, and I am a believer that any team on any day can win in theory. And South Sydney, yeah, jury's still out, to be honest.
Yeah. Next team, West Tigers.
Whew.
What's hard your thoughts on the Tigers? 2-2, they're -1, 99 points scored, 100 against.
Ooh,
third worst defense in the NRL.
It's a hard one to gauge. Moment
behind the Broncos and the Titans.
It's a hard one to gauge, Brooksy. I quite admire Michael Maguire as a coach. I sometimes feel like I'd want him at my club, but I feel like his standards are so high that he's always going to be disappointed in life no matter what. The West Tigers, there's potential there. There's something there. I don't know if you'll see it this year, but there's something there.
I'll tell you what, isn't it a bit of a tease, this Harry Grant being there for 1 year?
What about that?
You can't, these loans, this was always going to happen. He was going to come up. He was going to get some game time. Tigers fans were going to start buying number 9 jerseys or shaking off the 9 jerseys from the Robbie Farah, Darren Senna era.
Oh.
And look at him go. The little combo with Billy Walters, the ex-Storm buddies, running the 9.
And
yeah,
it's good.
Benji Marshall dropped for Josh Reynolds this week.
Yeah, bad
thoughts
move.
Thoughts on that little awful. Bad move?
Awful.
Straight out.
Awful. Josh Reynolds is barely a first grader. I know he's gone through stuff off the field, and I'm sorry about that. But on the field, I think he's a fringe first grader. I know he's on a lot of money. Benji Marshall is the lifeblood of that team. He was good enough in the first 3 rounds. I'm not dropping. I think that's a pretty poor move, actually, by Maguire. I really do.
So do you reckon he's making a statement after the loss to the Titans?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a 1 weeker. He's going, you know what, guys?
Well,
no one is safe. Got the Raiders this week.
I hope it's a 1 weeker because
dropping Benji. And doesn't Benji have a really good record against the Raiders?
I believe so, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So,
but believe it.
I don't like it, and I don't like the replacement. I mean, I think that it's, I think it's a bad move. Yeah.
All right, Nick, I'm going to do 2 teams at once, this one, and they're both playing each other on Thursday night, the Manly Seagulls and the Brisbane Broncos.
Yep.
What have you liked about Manly?
Yeah.
And the Broncos... What is going on?
Manly, I really like their attack. And I think they're a work in progress. I think they're going to get better. And I think barring injuries, I think Manly could be top 4. And I think that they've got a pretty good team. Desi still knows what's going on. And I think Manly are a team that you really wouldn't want to play most weeks. Brisbane... as a few people have already stated, the game has passed them by in the COVID break. Honestly, like I'm not trying to make light of it. Like they brought in a new rule, which, to be honest, if we're going to be fair dinkum, is ridiculous to give 16 teams 2 weeks' notice about what's going on. Like that's another podcast for another time. But
I think that was the last podcast.
There you go. Tune in, subscribe. But. The game has passed them by because their whole thing was we've got these big rollicking forwards and now those rollicking forwards can't make their tackles. They can't stand next to each other in the middle of the field. And I think that their coach might be a little bit nutso is what I'm coming to the conclusion as well.
Yeah, it's not so sea bold and the beautiful up there at the moment, is it, Chaz? Anthony... Seibold has signed former Bronco and Rabbitoh, and I think he debuted at the Titans, Ben Teo. What are your thoughts about bringing Teo back to the Bronco?
That's my own personal thumbs up. That's a good move. I think it'll help.
Yep.
I think he's you know, I haven't seen him play for a while. I know he's been playing rugby, but I'm assuming he's fit and ready to go. But terrific player, and probably exactly what they need is a tough, mobile forward, not one of those huge big boppers that can't get around and move after, you know, a couple of runs. So I think it's a great move, but they're going to have to learn how to defend that middle. I also think that Darius Boyd in the centers is an absolute complete waste of time. It's like, what?
You stole what I was going to say next.
Sorry, man. I just think
it's all good.
I think it's ridiculous. If he's still fit for 2020, then I don't know where he belongs on the field. But I really, it's a bit like when I was watching the Titans, I think the week before last, and Peachy was in the centers. It's just a waste of my time. It's like, what are you doing there? That's not where you belong. And I don't get it.
The equivalent for me would be if Michael Jordan stayed for another 3 years at the Wizards. That third year is like what's going on with Darius Boyd at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's unfortunate. Yeah. Mate, he was one of the, you know, he was pivotal in the Dragons premiership 10 years ago. But yeah, it is disappointing. And, you know, when you see stars, one of my favorite players at the Dragons went back to the Broncos, and it's just sad seeing him see out his career like this, going through those 59-0 losses, the 58-0 loss to Parra to end last season.
It's sad.
The Broncos have had some big losses at the end of the seasons.
It's sad, but it's also it's also selfish, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not begrudging him of an income or anything. I get that he's completely within his rights to do that. But he publicly has said, I'm not going anywhere and they've got to pay me with my money. And it's like,
yeah,
okay, bro, you know, good luck with that. But, and you know, it's not going to really put a mark on his career. Like, you're not really going to go, oh, you're a dud player because of that last year. But it's just, he's robbing the club and robbing the fans, basically.
It's been a great career, and I hope the Broncos can turn it around and we still see a few more highlights from Darius. But there's some good young players coming through. Katoni Staggs was a highlight, I thought, for their first few games.
Great player.
Particularly the first two before COVID hit.
Great player.
But yeah, he's coming back this week after being suspended for the Roosters game. I think it's a danger game for the Seagulls, like it is for the Sharks against the Dragons. And yeah, we could see a bounce back, but they've had a few injuries too. So I think
that the Sharks game's a danger. I don't think the Broncos one's a danger, to be completely honest with you. And, of course, could be wrong. Could be pie in my face on Monday morning, but like usual.
Yeah.
But I think that Manly are streets ahead of the Broncos right now. I really do.
I was thinking about Manly, going back to Manly, and I was like, when we were talking about the Broncos and thinking about the game, like, you think of these four players, Schnaz, and what do you think, like, at the moment in terms of their signing and development? So Ruben Garrick, Brad Parker, Curtis Sirenin, and Joel Thompson.
Yeah.
Like, they were the players that Desi sort of brought in to sort of support the Trbojevic's, DCE, Walker, Tapau, Fanua Blake.
Yep.
Like, that's your core six stars, right, for Manly. I may have left one or two players out. Just off the top of my head, rattling those six names off. Yeah, you got. Okay, let's go through. You've got two. Ruben Garrick.
Okay,
who's been a great signing.
Ruben Garrick is a fantastic signing. He's one of those ones that you dream about, where you pay him nothing and he's just outstanding from day one. And you obviously have watched him in lower grades tear it up, and it must tear your heart out to see him play for Manly like that. But fantastic signing, fantastic recruitment, great training, and he's really adjusted. So he gets the full thumbs up. Parker, definitely on the improve. He's not lights out or anything, but he's on the improve.
I think he's had a really good year this year.
Yeah.
Like, he's stepped up, like, from where he's...
Sure.
Not one of the best centers in the game, but he's doing his job and he's scoring a couple of tries.
Curtis Sirenin, I was never a fan of at the Tigers. I thought the hype was, you know, shouldn't have been there. And I thought
he was. Bit of nepotism.
Well, you I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. But I just think that I didn't see it at all. And then at Manly, he's definitely improved vastly and has made me look like a bit of a fool, which is not that hard to do. And he, I think, can still improve on what he's doing. I quite like his game. I'll say this about Joel Thompson, though, your number four. I personally don't get it. I feel like for a guy with his body, he should be a lot more dominant as a player. And I don't think of Joel Thompson as anything more than an average first grader, to be honest. That's just my take on that.
Jesus, Schnaz.
Sorry, man.
I wasn't expecting you to go there. I was basically getting to the situation where it was like, Manly have recruited really well the past few seasons, and they've brought in role players, veterans, cheap young guys that have come in that haven't been given an opportunity at the junior clubs to succeed. So they've been given the opportunity here. You got Moses Sully, who obviously had a bit of a tough run at the Tigers and the Bulldogs, staying fit, getting into the system. You got Jorge Tafua.
Oh, wonderful.
Who's been great. And you've got some good forwards in like Corey Waddell and
Kittle.
And even Sean Kepi's been stepping up a little bit off the bench.
Who did I say? Kittle.
Big unit.
Tight end Kittle.
Yeah. He would be a tight end if we did need to merge with the NFL.
So you're saying that Manly have done a great job and Desi's done a great job, is what you're saying?
I think so. And yeah. They're a team where you sort of go, oh, they're a bit thin, but, you know, they're there, thereabouts every year. And, yeah, I think, you know, they've started off the season well. And, unfortunately, you know, that Parramatta win would have been massive if they got it.
Yeah.
One more team before we go, Schnatz.
Sure.
The North Queensland Cowboys. What have you made of Vowles' season so far?
I think he's been pretty creative. I think that the assists he's made have been, you know, he's got the most assists for the team, I believe. So, try assists. So, he will get better. I had pretty high hopes for the Cowboys, but that was with Michael Morgan playing. He's out for a while. So, I think they're going to be a team that kind of pushes for the eight, and depending on injuries, they may or may not get there. They probably should be doing a bit better than what they are, but they have had some significant injuries.
Yep, Taumalolo most likely back this week.
Yep.
Gavin Cooper came back last week.
Morgan is huge.
Yeah, I think I've actually liked Drinkwater and Clifford as a halves combo. I think, I don't know where you see Morgan. Like, is he going to be a half for the rest of his career? Is he going to go out to left centre like Darius?
No,
but I actually like these young halves. We know. Man, that is so long ago now, Schnaz, when Phil Gould said young halves, Daly Cherry Evans and Kieran Foran.
That's right. Like, that was like 10 years ago, yeah.
That was. But, yeah, the young halves of the Cowboys. We saw Drinkwater at the nines, and he's brought that over to the 13 aside game.
Yeah.
And Jake Clifford's kicking game, underrated. Yeah, I think it's really good.
I like him. I just think that Morgan slots straight back in. And, you know, without being too, like, I don't know, Hollywood about it, I think that, you know, the brother-in-laws of Morgan and Holmes, like, they're going to have a good combination. They're both talented dudes. And I think that when Morgan's back, it'll be a true indication of how they're going to go for this year and next year. But, you know, you take Taumalolo out of it, you take Asiata out of it, you take Morgan. I think that they're hard to judge on what they've done this year. I think it's TBC on them. I think they'll push for the eight, though.
Yeah, and we mentioned it with Ruben Garrick, a former Dragon that's been given an opportunity to impress at the Seagulls. What about Reece Robson?
Yeah.
He was great against the Titans in round three.
Got the double, yeah.
I think he may be named as starting hooker this week.
Okay.
Forgive me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
I think he might be, Schnaz.
Is Jakey Is it?
Sorry, I'm just checking my Fox League app.
Is Granville hurt or is he punted?
No, I think he is hurt that he's lost his starting role, but I think it might be a form decision.
Yeah, well, I mean, Paul Green is under some pressure and he needs to have a good year or two ahead of him. So, and they've gone all out with Val. And I think so far Val's been okay. I'm copping it left, right, and centre from about Val. Chinez, Val, like, but
he looks, is that exactly what's being said to you?
Exactly what's being said to me. But he looks pretty good in attack, so I want to give him a bit more time to get back into the 13-a-side game as opposed to the 52-man game. But, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, so Reece Robson named at number 9 okay. for the clash against the Warriors on Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't mind that little segment. I think that's something we can look ahead. We can talk about the big topics and then we try and hit some random teams, throw sure. them on you.
Sure.
Because you did sure. provide some good analysis there, Shaz.
Thank you, thank you.
What else is happening this week? Is there any big news outside of the world of rugby league from the Sam Shenazzy world?
From my world? Well, I'm about... I'm over halfway through recording a new album, so I'm busy doing that when I'm not working doing other stuff. So that's kind of a lot of fun and a bit of work, a bit of pressure. But
have we got a title of the new album?
No, we don't actually. Still... We don't. Usually I do by now, but I don't. Aside from that, just living a pretty busy life, my best league life that I can live. I have, Brooksy, I don't know, do you want to talk about some TV now, or are we waiting on that, or what are we doing?
No, go. This is your time to shine.
I got a show for you.
Schnaz?
I have a show for you. It is on our little sister, the Foxtel.
Murder, She Wrote.
Close.
It's a story about a young writer, Angela Lansbury.
No, thanks for ridiculing my segment. It's called Run.
Oh, R-U-N, yeah, is that Run. Good?
It's really good, man. It's really good.
Oh, I saw the previews and I was like... Oh.
No, I saw the previews too.
It's good.
And then a colleague of ours said to me, you need to watch this. And it's nothing like what the kind of previews really hint at. It's basically an emotional kind of relationship-y kind of drama. It's not about... political intrigue and all this other stuff that they might have hinted at. It's just about a guy and a girl getting back together after 20 years and they both just dropped their lives and literally run towards each other. And it's about them sorting stuff out and short episodes, like 25, 30 minute episodes. There's, I think, 6 so far and I've watched 3 and really good. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah. I was thinking about what you said and it reminded me of Prison Break.
No. Yeah, I don't.
How long will they be running for? How many can they break out of another prison?
No. That's what I thought too, in a strange way. But it's not like that. And pretty early on, you sort of go, "Oh, whoever made that preview got it wrong because they could have done it so much better." It's not really about that at all. Like they are on the run in a sense from their real lives, but it's nothing to do with prison or politics or mystery intrigue. It's just about kind of relationshipy stuff, and it's good, man. So far, so good. Hopefully, they can maintain that. Okay. Yeah.
I finished the Lance documentary.
Okay, so I haven't gone there, but I'm happy to talk about it. I've got it recorded.
Yeah, it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
If you've seen Icarus, the documentary on Netflix about doping, I think it's definitely something that will be right up your alley. There's some interesting feelings you get with Lance throughout the documentary, all different feelings, but it was great to get insight. My daughter didn't really know too much other than the cycling stuff and the cancer stuff, but there is a bit of intrigue into the person who is Lance Armstrong, and I think it's good insight for people that were fans or people that don't know much about him. So I definitely think it's worth dedicating a couple of hours to get to know Lance Armstrong and get to know the sport of cycling as well.
Is he, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but is he a bit of a weirdo or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
I've got that vibe. Yeah, there's something about him. It's interesting because I think these sort of documentaries, you know, they can really unearth people because he sort of lets his guard down because I think there's an opportunity for him to tell his story.
Yeah.
But in telling his story, you get to know the real Lance Armstrong and you get to know some stuff that you just go, wow, like he had a feeling that he'd be like that, but yeah. He definitely ticks those boxes.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I think it's something that's intriguing. If you like cycling, if you like Lance Armstrong, if you like Sheryl Crow,
does Sheryl get much of a go or?
Not really, but okay. You know, it's worth waiting for.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Floyd Landis, his former teammate and then, rival, gets a bit in there too. Yeah, it's worth a watch, Naz. And I've sort of started watching the Bruce Lee documentary today. I think
that'll be
martial art fans, movie fans in general, it'd be a good watch.
One of the great popular culture figures. So I'm not a martial arts guy, but I want to watch it, you know.
Yeah. No, it's been good so far. I might finish it later tonight. But also,
was there a basketball doco that was released recently? Not the MJ one. I'm not being smart. Was there another one called the love of the game, love of basketball or something? It was on.
Yeah, ESPN. Basketball love story.
What was that?
I think there's six parts have been shown on ESPN. It's a 10-part series,
and it's
a real in-depth look at the sport of basketball, particularly in the United States.
Right.
It does look at the Olympics. It looks at the ABA, the NBL, which were not the NBL Australia, but one of the original leagues in America.
Right.
How basketball originated. Basketball was an indoor sport that people that played football, played outdoor sports could do in winter indoors.
Yeah.
It was a bit like a stacks on, like a kill the deal with a pill, whatever you called it at your school sort of sport initially. And then James Naismith, the inventor of the game, sort of brought some rules into it because there was tackling, there was running with the ball, there was all this sort of stuff.
Right.
And so they went, okay, you got to, when you catch the ball, you can only have it for a certain amount of time. You got to pass the ball once you catch it. But yeah. There were peach baskets as the goals, with a little hole for a stick so you could poke the ball back out once someone scored a basket.
And did you watch the series?
I'm a couple of episodes in.
Is it good?
Some great, thorough interviews. Like everyone and anyone has been interviewed for this series, Schnaz. It's really good.
Okay.
There's no necessarily, like there is a little bit of chronological cool like structure in it, but it does jump around depending on what they're talking about.
Okay.
So Tom Steinfort and the Channel 9 guys might be a bit better suited for you than The Last Dance, but give it a go. No, I think it's something that you can watch. It's very nostalgic. It's very in depth in the history of professional basketball in America. And yeah, definitely worth a watch if you've got the time.
Hey, I know a lot of our listeners want to know the answer to this question. Have you watched The Last Dance back since it ended?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't.
Is that because you...
Because it was good timing into the NRL. Yeah, so okay. I sort of been watching our shows and watching games and just getting back into the swing of things. And when I've been all rugby league out, I've gone to parties and just exercising and doing different stuff, cooking. Haven't really concentrated on The Last Dance. I probably will go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Once the NRL's done over summer and the NBA sort of will kick back in. Sounds like it's going to be a hectic schedule for the NBA and the NFL, Schnaz, over the next 18 months.
Well, are the Timberwolves included in the comp this year or not?
No, they're not.
What's that about?
They're basically saying that they're going to have 8 games. So the teams that are in playoff contention with 8 games remaining will be available to play in Orlando.
Okay.
and then they're going to do the seedings based on win percentage.
Okay, that's a bit different to how I heard it. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. I haven't, again, I haven't really looked too much into it just because being so focused on the NRL, but it's going to be the NBA. The NBA is going to finish off this current season. The NFL is going to start up their season. As soon as that's done, the NBA is going to be on, and then the NFL will be back on again. Like, it's just going to be bang, 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 bang in the American sport realm. The baseball is sort of struggling to get their season started. They're still far away from that. We've got the EPL starting up in a couple of weeks too, Shanae.
That's exciting.
I know. That's exciting. Liverpool fans obviously keen for that to happen.
Finally.
To get the season finished, yeah.
Now, what do you think about that? Is it obviously it's taken some gloss off of it. It's not going to be as sweet, but I'm glad it's happening and we can actually celebrate what should be celebrated, which was a wonderful season from them. But it's a little sucky, the gap in between, isn't it?
A little sucky indeed. Yeah,
you think?
Yeah. But
I know it can't be helped.
I think what can you do? And they were so clear. They were in the clear.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
I think Liverpool fans, I'm a Liverpool fan, but I'm not like staunch as I used to be.
Yeah.
But I believe it's been this Klopp era. He's clopped a lot of criticism over the past few years. And this
great.
Is, you know, the Champions League and now the league. I think it's great. I think if not for the club, for him, he has been so good. His recruitment has been spot on. I think he's nailed nearly every deal he's done. And I think, you know, off the back of Torres and Suarez and Raheem, like all these players that have come and gone, like he's nailed it. The team's been great to watch.
Yeah.
To have a team that wins and is fun to watch is a great combination. We've seen in NRL sometimes a good team. Like your Sharkies, Schnaz.
2016.
I wouldn't say they were fun.
Oh, get out of here. What?
Like no. They had their moments, but they weren't like, you're not all the entertainers.
They were.
Like, you're not going,
very entertaining tries that year, Brooksy. Go watch your DVD.
Did everyone else.
Ben Barber lit it up. Ben Barber, career best year. No. Okay. Ben Barber, Valentine Holmes, unbelievable.
You weren't the entertainers. There was more entertaining teams that year. This is the Cowboys.
No.
Yes, they were.
No.
JT, look at me. JT. Michael Morgan, I'm going to be better next year.
Anyway.
Liverpool, they've been fun to watch. They've done it well. They've done it in style.
Yeah,
let's just make it official, Schnaz.
Yeah.
I
can't wait either. It's going to be good.
Straight to cheers in the city. we should go.
That won't be happening.
Anyway, what are you looking forward to the most this weekend? Para Penrith and Storm Knights for me.
The derby. I'm always looking forward to the derby. You know, I'm a derby guy.
I'm definitely not looking forward to that, and not looking forward to the next week's podcast.
Brooksy, I'm telling you, you're going to lift. So we'll see what happens. I'm just super glad that we kept this podcast short and sweet tonight. I'm really glad. Really happy.
I know, we're in hour three, are we? It's like a siege.
I'm 68 years old. You're not going anywhere, Brooksy. Sit down in the corner and shut up. That's been like our friendship for like 15 years now.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
on that note, Brooksy, we should probably wrap up because, men need to sleep. But it's been fun, man, and I've enjoyed the first 2 weeks of rugby league back. And, let's face it, without it in our lives, we would be poorer, shall we say.
We'd be doing a Bundesliga podcast, and I'd be telling you how good Timo Werner is.
I love Timo Werner.
He's scoring at will, just like Lewandowski for the Bayern Munichs.
Yes. Anyway,
No, it's been good. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your stories. Thank you for your ad lib on random NRL teams.
Yeah, sorry about the whole Manly thing. I went off on a bit of a tangent there.
No, it's all right. It's good. I didn't realize you were going to go the way you did on Joel Thompson. That really rattled me. But anyway, hey, that's the podcast. That's not having a rundown. That's the beauty of what we're doing.
I like it. No rundown. What a great thing. Brooksy, I'm going to go. I will see you later.
I'll catch you next week, Schnaz. Marcus, bye for now.